KXRNLP Laguna Niguel, Laguna Beach,
Laguna's only FM,
KX93.5.
This disclaimer is a statement notifying the listening audience that the opinions expressed on any public affairs show do not reflect those of KX93.5, its management, or the board of directors.
KXRNLP Laguna Niguel, Laguna Beach,
Laguna's only FM, KX93.5.
This disclaimer is a statement notifying the listening audience that the opinions expressed on any public affairs show do not reflect those of KX93.5, its management, or the board of directors.
Good morning. It's the Friendship Show on KX93.5. I'm Dawn Price, hosting solo, yikes, today. But Megan's here. She's going to help me out, right, Megan?
Good morning. Yes, I am.
So it's the girl show today on KX93.5. We have a great show for you today. We've got some graduates from Friendship Shelter who are going to talk about their time at the shelter. We're going to delve into what it's like to be a resident at the shelter and how the shelter helps homeless people get back on their feet. We're excited for this conversation, and we'll get it started with a little bit of music from Jack Johnson.
Fall is here, hear the yell, back to school, ring the bell, brand new shoes, walking blues, climb the fence, books and pens, I can tell that we are gonna be friends. Yes, I can tell that we are gonna be friends. Walk with me, Susie Lee, through the park and by the tree. We can rest upon the ground and look at all the bugs we found. Safely walk to school without a sound. We safely walk to school without a sound. Well, here we are, no one else. We walk to school all by ourselves. There's dirt on our uniforms from chasing all the ants and worms. We clean up and now it's time to learn. We clean up and now it's time to learn. Numbers, letters, learn to spell. Nouns and books and show and tell. Playtime, we will throw the ball. Then back to class, through the hall. Teacher marks our height against the wall. The teacher marks our height against the wall. And we don't notice any time pass, 'cause we don't notice anything. We sit side by side in every class. The teacher thinks that I sound funny, but she likes it when you sing. Tonight I'll dream in my bed while silly thoughts run through my head of the bugs and alphabet. And when I wake tomorrow, I'll bet you and I will walk together again. 'Cause I can tell that we are gonna be friends. Yes, I can tell that we are gonna be friends.
And we're back in the studio. It's the Friendship Show on KX93.5, Laguna's only FM. I'm Dawn Price, hosting solo with intern Megan this morning, as we do the female version of hosting for the Friendship Show. We're here today with three of Friendship Shelter's graduates, and we want to talk today about the experience of going through Friendship Shelter and how it helps people in our community. Just a brief hello to each of our guests. We have Sharon in the house. Sharon, hi.
Hello.
Hello, Sharon. We have Anthony. Good morning, Anthony. And Jared.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jared. So we thank you all for coming. I always start out or finish up when we, and each of you, I think, has gone with me at different times to talk in the community or participate on panels. It's not an easy thing for someone who's gone through Friendship Shelter or any program like it to decide to come and talk publicly about it. We're asking you today to talk about probably one of the worst times in your life, or the times in your life that led to your experience in a homeless shelter. So thank you in advance for doing that for us. Let's start just by giving a little background. Sharon, can you tell us what was happening in your life before Friendship Shelter? How did you end up in our shelter?
Well, I was a drug addict of methamphetamine for over 20 years, and I got tired of going back and forth to jail. And Tony, my friend that's sitting beside me here, came and visited me and told me about the friendship shelter. So the day I got out of jail, I kept calling on Wednesdays and got on the list and promptly got into the friendship shelter. And that was in 2008.
2008. And how many times were you in jail?
I don't know how many times exactly, but I was on probation, and every time I turned around, they would put me back in jail. So probably about 4 or 5 times.
Wow.
And each time was like 2 to 4 months.
Wow. Okay.
So I was actually on the fast track to go end up in prison, I wound up at Friendship Shelter instead.
Okay, great. We're going to just do a little round robin on that and come back to you in a minute. Anthony, what led to your time? You were at Friendship Shelter twice.
Yes, and the first time I was in and out of jail probably 3 times within 4 months. And then I was on the street. Mm-hmm. And after a week or so on the street, I said, you know what? This is just so not me. So I put myself inside the friendship shelter, and knock on wood, so far so good.
Yeah, great. And how about you, Jared?
Oh, a lot of bad decisions accumulated into my being on the street and having nowhere to go. And so the friendship shelter, I was introduced to it by a friend and was able to get on the waiting list. And a couple of months later, it was exactly what I needed to have in my life at the time. I needed some stability and an opportunity to become stable again and get my life back in order.
You used the phrase, Jared, on the street. Did you actually live homeless on the street?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I've gone back and taken pictures of the places that I slept, kind of to remind myself.
And where was where it? I came here from. In Orange County? Here
in Orange County.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. How about Sharon and Anthony? Were you on the street, actually?
I actually was on the street. Mm-hmm. Not on the street, like behind a trash can, but I did hang on to my vehicle. So I camped in my Jeep Cherokee. It was my sanctuary. And I just went to different parks that you could stay at, or I would find Walmarts allowed you to stay in your vehicle. And I just camped in my vehicle. I camped in my vehicle actually largely because I had gotten tired of being a drug addict, and I didn't want to be associated with my friends that were still using. Mm-hmm. And it was actually safer me to stay in my vehicle until I got into the shelter.
Anthony, were you on the street?
Yeah, I was living here in town, and I had a car, but then it got towed, and so I was out of a car for a few days, and I had to go over here to Surf and Sand and bird bath it, you know, to get cleaned, because they had a bathroom that had hot water, you know, so I didn't want to go out into the ocean and do it, so I did what I learned in jail. You know, not a happy thing to say, but
but
live and learn.
You figure out how to survive.
Yeah,
you know, one of the things I think people often who don't understand the experience of homelessness talk about is, well, why didn't you just get a job? Why didn't you just... But how hard is it to do that kind of thing while you're living on the street?
It's super difficult. There's when you're on the street or living house to house with friends, the ability to look presentable for an interview is difficult. Mm-hmm. To get to an interview, I didn't have a car at the time either. Mm-hmm. You know, so it was walking, skateboarding, or any other means to get around, and so it becomes really hard to put yourself in that position where you can be presentable, where you can be confident in going into an interview.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Other two of you, similar experiences?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Your confidence level, just trying to keep a phone turned on would be really, really hard. And then to just be hanging out at someone's house so that you could receive a phone call. Mm-hmm. It was hard. It was really hard.
You talked about your friends were still using. So were you sometimes making the choice between, well, this person's using, but if I'm at their house, there's a phone and running water
versus... Exactly. Okay. I would actually frequent their house maybe a couple times a week just to go in, take a shower, so I didn't have to take that bird bath. And Actually, I was able to, my brother helped me keep my phone on and kept gas in my car because he knew I wanted to change my life around. He knew I was better off not being in the environments that were drug infested.
So you said your drug of choice was methamphetamine. Mm-hmm. Anthony, were you an addict as well?
I was mainly into alcohol.
Okay.
You know, drugs here and there. But
mostly in alcohol.
My poison was the alcohol. Mm-hmm.
And how about you, Jared? Were drugs and alcohol a factor for you?
Yes, definitely. Yep. I don't think that I'm positive I never would have been in the situation that I got into had it not been for using drugs.
Okay, got it. Well, so each of you turned to Friendship Shelter. Sharon, how long did you wait for your bed?
Well, it was a little bit different back then. I actually was really fortunate, and I only waited, I think it was almost 5 weeks. And basically it was that long only because I was terrified to ask for help, and I was actually terrified to come to the Friendship Shelter.
Really?
Even though Tony had been there and told me it's a great program, I kind of was being a hermit in my vehicle, and I didn't feel worthy of reaching out for help. So I kind of sabotaged a couple of times. I could have been in there sooner.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But by calling really late that day, oh, you just missed a bed. And I was like, oh, darn. Okay, I'm sorry. I won't do that again.
Yeah.
But that I was actually frightened to, you know.
It's scary to make any change, even
out
of a horrible situation. That horrible was familiar.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm. How about you, Anthony? How long did you wait?
Well, the first time, I think it took maybe a couple of weeks, but the second time it took like 4 days.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. So I was pretty lucky because
Dang,
I guess
that is lucky.
Yeah, because I guess that the guys in front of us, or me,
it sometimes happens that you know we keep 10 men and 10 women on our waiting list at a time, and the typical wait is 6 weeks or so, 6 to 8 weeks. But there, you know, Sharon works with us now. We'll talk about that in a little while. There are times where the first 9 people on the list, for whatever reason, we can't get a hold of them. They don't respond. They're not ready to come in. And sometimes number 10 gets that slot. So it does occur that it happens more frequently. And how about you, Jared?
It took 2 months.
2 months.
Yeah,
That's
it was a long time.
Average.
So calling,
yes.
Calling every day
and
hoping to get in.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay, great. Well, let's take a break. Let's take a musical break, and we'll talk when we come back about your first days at the shelter. We're going to go to Train, Calling All Angels.
I need a sign to let me know you're here. All of these lines are being crossed over the atmosphere.
Yeah.
We're back. If Mark Miller's listening, we're dancing in his honor because he's not in the studio to dance this morning. So we're dancing to a little bit of Train there. I'm Dawn Price. I'm here with the Friendship Show. It's KX93.5, Laguna's only FM. And we're talking with Friendship Shelter graduates Sharon, Anthony, and Jared. And we've just heard everyone's story. Kind of what their life was like before they came into the Friendship Shelter and how long it took to get in. I'm interested in everyone's day one and what it felt like to walk in. What was that intake experience like, and what feelings are going through your mind about what you're expecting to walk into a shelter versus what you found? Anthony, you want to start us out with that?
Well, okay. Well, I was scared.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be living with a big group of people that I don't know.
Right.
And am I going to be, you know, getting in fights or something? Mm-hmm. Am I going to get stuff stolen from me? Am I going to fail? But no, I actually had a really good time.
Yeah.
I felt kind of like I was in a dorm with a bunch of people that were just trying to get back on their feet.
And was that what you expected, that it would be like dorms? Like, because just for our listeners, we have individual rooms with maybe two sets of bunk beds or three beds, and so it's very dorm-like. Was that what you expected?
No.
Okay. What did you think it would be like?
I thought it was just going to be like one room per, you know, person, you know. And
okay.
Because I've never heard about the shelter before.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Jared? Your first day?
My first day, it was great. I was my brother picked me up and dropped me off, and I mean, I was just comfortable to have a bed. I was so happy to have a bed and just have a place to stay and to be comfortable was a big deal. And it's always a little bit nerve-wracking meeting a whole bunch of new people and living in a dorm kind of style,
right,
place, but having everybody with the same goal and the same direction that they're trying to move was kind of enlightening for me.
It was helpful. And yeah. Sharon, you said you were scared, I remember, before our musical break. So with that fear, you're entering now day one of the shelter.
Okay, it was very, very daunting for me. I had a friend drive me down from Huntington, where I'd been staying mostly in parks and, like I said, at Walmarts. And as he's driving me down to drop me off, I'm like, maybe I don't want to go. And he's all, you are going. And luckily he was there to bring me in, because I don't know whether I would have made it driving myself, because I was talking myself out of it.
Are you, at this point, are you clean off meth? Or
yep.
Are you, okay, and for how long?
I had been clean at that point in 2008. I think it would have been 8 months.
Okay. Okay. So you're not, that's not an immediate issue for
no,
you.
No, it wasn't
but
an
still
immediate
scary
issue.
Scary to come in.
But just the thought was, it was self-condemnation, actually. I didn't feel worthy of asking for help. I never had. Or maybe it was pride. I don't know. But I got there, and it was a Sunday afternoon. No, it was a Monday. And Tony was there. So I was like, okay, he's there. He's gonna. That was a huge, because I didn't go in not knowing anybody.
So Tony was a resident there when you were there. Oh, and you knew each other.
And we knew each other. And he had already told me what room I was might be going in, because he knew. So he was describing the girls in the room. And I was like, okay. He goes, and so I knew a little bit. And I mean, the first night I was there, we had this amazing meal, and I was like, this is a homeless shelter. And they took us down to the Nordstrom's room, and there's all these great clothes, and I'm a little bit of a hoarder of clothes. So I was just like really elated that there was all these really nice clothes downstairs.
Okay, for our listeners who might think we're running a 5-star restaurant and have an actual Nordstrom's branch in our shelter, we call it Nordstrom's. It's the room where the donated clothing.
Mm-hmm. Really nice donated clothing.
Uh-huh. And our meals are provided by guest chefs.
And our community really comes together. So I immediately felt really comfortable. I was in a room, and actually Jane was in my room, and she'd come in the night before, and she was really scared, never been homeless. And anyway, we ended up being roommates, and we still are.
Oh, wow. So that's great. So everybody got to their first day. They actually walked through the shelter. There's an orientation process, and you're sat down and told kind of the guidelines of the program. What do you remember from that experience? What was your reaction to kind of how the program works?
It was really overwhelming at first because there's a list of things that you've got to comply to. And I'm absent-minded, so it was a little daunting again to me.
But you weren't going to be able to.
Yeah, am I going to be able to do this? But actually, after a day or two, they let you get acclimated for a day or two. The program really is structured to put structure back in your life that you haven't had. Mm-hmm. And so having a daily chore actually felt good.
Yeah.
You know, to get up and be participating. Right. And I actually like the community setting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Jared? The
orientation? I needed structure.
Did you know that?
You know, that I needed structure?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I knew I needed it. Okay. So for me, it was good. I to be told, look, you've got this and this to do. I was anxious to do the things I needed to do. As I got to the Friendship Shelter, I set a goal for myself to get myself together in 90 days. You know, that was my goal going into it. And so I knew I needed to do all the little things that were asked of me when I was at the Friendship Shelter. So I tried to do everything I could to be a good resident, to be good to the other people that I was with. And I built structure from it. I mean, the amount of opportunity that the Friendship Shelter gives you as you come into it is outstanding. And the feeling of being able to feel like you've got a place, you know, where you can leave and come back to at night, and it just gives you the confidence you need to kind of get back out in the world.
Absolutely. Now, Anthony, I know you're not at all unusual in that you came through the program twice.
Right.
Often people need that. They need a second try through the program in order to get fully back where they want to be.
Right.
Coming back the second time, what were your feelings then?
The second time seemed to be a lot better because I went through the format of the shelter plan.
Okay.
You stay there for so many days, uh-huh. and then you move on to the Henderson
so
House.
So you moved down to the transitional house at Henderson House.
Right. Yes. And that's what I should have done the first time, but I didn't, you know?
Okay, yeah.
But, you know, they say that second time around,
the charm.
Yeah. So.
Well, good. So we're in the shelter. You have roommates. What surprised you? What was different than you expected?
The food was good. So I was, you know, that was a benefit.
Yeah.
You know, going to it, and I don't think that much surprised me going into it. I was just super excited to be able to be in that atmosphere, and it's crazy the feelings that you get. You know, you kind of as you're on the street, and you disassociate from society a little bit, and you don't talk to people, you don't do as much. And I'm a super social person, and I enjoy being around people, and I just kind of went into my own little shell, and it wasn't even after the first day. I remember calling my dad, and I was walking down the street, and people were saying hi to me, and I felt like a whole different person, you know, than I had been over the past, you know, couple of months through the struggles that I was going through. So it just, from day one, I felt so much better to have that structure and that the availability of a bed and a place to stay, and you know you're going to have food. It just started spinning my head again to get a job, to get things back going to where I needed to be at.
Got it. I think that is something, you know, when you become part of this community, when you come and live at Friendship Shelter. And it isn't. Laguna Beach is an eclectic community with a lot of different people who don't always, you can't tell who's got a lot of money and who doesn't, for example. You can't tell. And I think our residents are surprised generally that they flow into the community so easily.
And as people, we talked about it the last meeting that we had with, and people wouldn't assume that Laguna Beach is that type of a community from the outside, but it's probably one of the strongest communities at attacking and helping the homeless population in Orange County or anywhere that I've been.
I would say beyond Orange County even. We are uniquely open to helping, and we have a little continuum of care within our own community here that is pretty amazing for a 28,000 population city. So let's take another music break. When I come back, I want to talk about your time in the program and how you got back on your feet. So we're going to go to Sharon wanted some Guns N' Roses this morning. Knocking on Heaven's Doors, Guns N' Roses.
We'll be right back.
We're back. It's KX93.5, Laguna's only FM, and this is the Friendship Show. I'm Dawn Price, here with Friendship Shelter graduates today, talking about their experience in the Friendship Shelter program and how Friendship Shelter helped them rebuild their lives. Megan had a question. Megan?
I did. You all sort of mentioned that there were certain requirements asked of you once you arrived and were brought into the program at the shelter. Could you kind of describe what those things were?
Sure. I think one of the main things that we're asked to do is to find a job. That's one of the first steps that we need to kind of really get back in touch with society, is to get a job and start feeling like you're contributing to your own life and to get things better. So one of the cool things with the Friendship Shelter is that not only does it give you a place to live and a place to stay, food to eat, but the goal is to get you self-sufficient again. So once you do have a job, you're able, the Friendship Shelter requires that you, once you get paid, you go and get a money order in your name for 80% of the money that you got. So you give them the money order. They hold on to that money order. And then once you leave the program, and you're given all that money back. And so you're building a savings account. Since you don't have any expenses for food and expenses for your housing, you don't necessarily need all that money. And so it teaches you to save money, and which is super important as you're trying to get back on your feet.
And what was your first job then, Jared?
My first job back? Yeah. It was labor. I was in a labor job. I kind of had to bring myself back to the old football days of working really hard for a little tiny bit of money. But it was nice. I worked 40, 50-hour weeks laboring, and I enjoyed it. You know, it was I hope to never have to do it again. But it was worth it to work really hard, even though the checks were small. I felt like I was accomplishing something that I needed to accomplish.
And other program requirements? I know everyone has to meet with the case manager. What does the case manager do for you?
I had an awesome case manager. Her name was Sarah. She was very, very supportive. You meet with your case manager once a week they mark out for an hour. Some people, they'll meet with their case manager for like 15 minutes. I never, ever met with mine for 15 minutes. She was so, so supportive. I had obstacles in my way for getting a job, and the obstacles were my drug addiction had led me to get a felony, and with felony, it got in the way of me finding a job. So she was very, very supportive, very, very helpful. My first job was at the Sawdust Festival, and I worked for my pastor's wife, who makes jewelry. And then from working with them there, they hired me to take care of her mother, which she was like in like 94 when I started taking care of Jessie. And Jessie was a very lively lady, and I worked for her Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 4 hours a day. So I had two part-time jobs. Mm-hmm. And those two part-time jobs, and then I went and did some more care for another lady, and then I had three part-time jobs. Mm-hmm. And before you know it, I was also cutting hair again, but not in a salon, but I kind of do mobile hairstyling. So I had four part-time jobs, and four part-time jobs even equaled out to maybe a little bit more than one
full-time
job.
So she helped you cobble that together.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, totally. Yeah. The case management program counselor are like key. I mean, we had a very good rapport, and I was very, very fortunate to have her. She was an awesome case manager. We have a lot of really good case managers right now in our program. Having her really, 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 really helped, because I came in pretty broken and down on myself and not thinking I could succeed, and she was really good at building my self-confidence. Mm-hmm. So I was really thankful for that.
You all talked about your chores. I'm just curious if you remember. What was your first chore?
My first chore was to clean the staff bathroom.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, yeah, everybody. It? Yeah, that was toilets.
Toilets.
Men's
How
toilets.
About you, Anthony?
The bottom of the totem pole.
I think mine was the staircase.
You know, the staircase.
You were lucky.
Yeah,
the
wood.
No, it wasn't.
Beauty.
No, because all those spindles, you know, you got to clean. And, you know, so you know, it took some time.
Absolutely.
You know, which is fine, you know. You
know. And that's an important part of the community. I think, you know, we vacillate as administration on, you know, whether the chores work out well for us and whether it would be easier on staff if we just hired a cleaning person.
That would be a mistake.
But contributing to the community service is, and Sharon's saying she's got a point here.
I got a point. And then he got put on pots and pans in the kitchen.
Anthony?
And my and my roommate Jane was his partner, and they used to sing songs. It was so funny. They would sing all the oldies, and they would sing them way out of tune and dance around the kitchen and make a totally, it was like, it was the Jane and Tony show. It was really fun to watch, and it made that job really more fun, because that is probably one of the hardest jobs, I mean, in length of time it takes to do some of those dishes sometimes that are in the kitchen, in that kitchen.
Remember that?
I do now, yeah.
That community, I mean, that I think that is something that comes out of the chores, especially the chores you do with someone else, is that you make a new friend. I mean, you obviously you've got your roommates that you get to know, and then maybe you're doing a chore with someone, so you get to know the person that you do the chore with, and gradually these friendships bloom that can turn into jobs. You got your job, Jared, through another resident.
Right, we kind of all networked.
Anthony, I think you've gotten a few people jobs at, or helped them get jobs where you work.
Yeah.
So I think those things do sort of, they exponentially help benefit people as you go on. Your get well job, Anthony, has become your career.
Yeah, you know, I started off at Ralph's here, and I was the bagger up front, you know, and, you know, it was, yeah.
We call it a get well job. We tell people,
right,
don't worry about the job you want eventually. Just start making money. Call it a get well job. But sometimes it turns into more, and you're still with Ralph's.
Yeah, and now I'm the liquor manager.
The alcoholic is the liquor manager. I remember, I have to tell a story on you. I hadn't been Friendship Shelter executive director too long, and I walked into Ralph's at like 7 o'clock in the morning, because that's when they stock the liquor.
Yeah.
And I walk in to get some coffee or something, and there is Anthony in the liquor department, just like with Jack Daniels, just throwing them on the shelves. And I thought, oh my God, he's fallen off the wagon. What's wrong? What are you doing, Anthony? This is my job. I stock this every day. Yeah. And oh my gosh, you're like Sam Malone on Cheers. You're around it all the time.
That's so funny.
Yeah, it you know, it keeps me put. Yeah, you know?
Really.
So, yeah. You know, I mean,
and you're the manager of that department now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're in charge of making sure they've got all the tourists get
all
their alcohol.
And during the summertime, I'm basically the number one in sales out of all the Ralphs in
South County, right?
Oh,
District
I'm sure.
7 or. Yeah. Or District 9, yeah.
There's a fair amount of alcohol that goes through that Ralph's.
And I know.
Yeah.
And I know who falls, and he's, you know.
So. Nobody can BS you at an AA meeting. You know what they mean. Interesting.
No, you didn't. I seen you the other night. No, no.
Yeah,
but,
that's funny.
Yeah, but
that's become, so you rose from bagger to manager of a department.
Yeah, within about a month or so.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know?
That was quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, the best part is that I have spilt champagne, wine, Jack Daniels all over me, but not once did I, you know, want to lick my shirt or something like that.
Yeah.
You know? Not once, you know.
It helps you remember how far you've come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
For sure.
I mean, I have it inside the freezer at home.
Yeah.
On the shelves at home, but it's for company, you know, and it doesn't seem to bother me.
Wow, that's tremendous. That works for you.
Like I said, knock on wood. You
know? Well, we know that, speaking of work, Jared has a job today or has somewhere to be at 10:30, so he's going to have to leave us a little early. Before you do, this is a question I'm going to pose to the other two after the musical break. What do you think would surprise people about Friendship Shelter that maybe they don't know?
The people who are there. If you were to look at the three of us here, we're normal people. We're not dirty people that came from the street. We're as normal as anybody else that's on the street. And for me, I went to college, graduated from college. Never 10 years ago would I have thought that I had would have been in the situation that I was in. A few bad decisions later, I ended up in a tough spot. And so I think people generally in society today, we look at our homeless population and kind of turn our heads and try to pretend that they're not there. And it's so important that we pay attention, you know, because all of us are human. A lot of us make some mistakes and circumstances really put people in a tough spot. So it's, I think that people would be really surprised at the people who are at the shelter. The backgrounds that they come from would surprise a lot of people. And I think that if we pay a little bit more attention and if we can get some more help for programs like the Friendship Shelter, where we're not just putting people into a building, telling them to leave in the morning and maybe you can come back at night, but giving them an opportunity to become self-sufficient again, it makes all the difference in the world. Mm-hmm. Especially for us here.
That's great. And Jared's back volunteering for us.
Yep,
on
I am.
Friday afternoon. So if you call the Friendship Shelter on Friday afternoons,
yep, you can talk
Jared
to
will answer the phone. I know you have to get off to your appointment. We're going to send you off with a song you or a artist you have recommended. It's Jack Johnson's version of Imagine.
Thank you. Awesome. Thanks, guys. That was.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, and above us is only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. You may say that I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us, and the world will live as one. Imagine there's no country. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. No religion too. Imagine all the people living life for peace. You may say that I'm a dreamer, but I am not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us, and the world will live as one. Imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger. A brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. You may say that I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us, the world will live as one.
We're back. It's the Friendship Show on KX 93.5. this is the music break where we all go, where did that hour go? We were all so nervous how we would fill it, and now it's 10 minutes till 10 o'clock. That just happens just about every week. I want to thank Jared, who had to take off. I think he had a work commitment, but we've still got Anthony and Sharon. And the question I posed before the break, we're talking to Friendship Shelter graduates and wondering what you think would surprise people about the Friendship Shelter that maybe they wouldn't think of when they think of a homeless shelter.
Definitely the location. I mean, I'm still amazed by every day when I work there that there is an amazing sunset. Where else would you find a friendship shelter like Friendship Shelter that is nestled in this really, really picturesque town? I mean, across the alleyway from us is a Spencer House, mm-hmm. and I think it might be $30,000 a month to go for mm-hmm. recovery there. And I think our view is better because we got the third floor, and it's just amazing what we get. And
we say, you know, we probably are the only homeless shelter in the world with an ocean view.
Definitely. When I thought of homeless, I thought of
Skid Row.
You know
what? We've got a caller.
Oh.
So we're going to try to get the caller on the air in a minute. But, I think the view is one thing. Anthony, what do you think is a surprise?
Well, I believe it would be the goal setting. You know?
Setting goals every day?
Setting goals every day. Following the rules, mm-hmm. which is not hard to do. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I've seen people stumble and fall,
right,
because they can't follow the rules, and mm-hmm. it's not hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just the whole atmosphere there.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, I think that is surprising. It surprised me. You know, I've worked in nonprofits for 30 years, but I had never been involved at a homeless shelter other than to go and provide the meal at a shelter in Iowa where I used to live once in a while. And I was surprised by, I think, everything that you said, certainly the setting, the structure, and the way generally residents want that structure and want to comply with that. And also, it was a big eye-opener for me there's not very much difference at all between me and the people who end up in the shelter. It's just a matter of, you know, a couple of decisions, a couple of bad breaks, mm-hmm. and whether or not you have the support system in place to help you when you fall.
Well, they do say the average American, you know, making the average amount of money is 2 paychecks away from being homeless.
Right, right.
And that's how bad it is.
And we do see that every day. Sharon, I want to switch and talk about your experience now as an employee at Friendship Shelter. You came through the program in 2008, mm-hmm. 2009, mm-hmm. and you've been working with us how long?
In April was 3 years.
Okay, so you started at the ASL, at the Shelter Program.
Yeah, I actually even started at Act 5.
Okay. Oh, wow, that goes back a ways.
Right. Yeah. And then from Act 5, Rick Scott was telling me, are you sure you can do this? I don't know whether you want to be working in this environment.
And this is for our listeners. This is our emergency shelter program that we do in partnership with the City of Laguna Beach.
Mm-hmm.
It's a much more basic emergency shelter. It's an important program that keeps people safe,
mm-hmm.
But it's mats on the floor, and people are very, very desperately homeless in that program.
Yeah. So I started off getting 2 shifts there, and they were from 4 a.m. to 8 a.m., and that led to us moving to the location we're at now, which was I think that was done in June, mm-hmm. 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ended up working 5 nights a week for a little over a year.
Uh-huh.
And after that, I now split my shifts. I have 3 shifts at the Friendship Shelter and 2 shifts at the ASL.
And what's it like for you to, I want to take you back to that first day in the intake, and now you're on the other side of that desk. And you're meeting that new resident. We had a few new residents start this week. I saw you helping orient someone.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see in them what you felt?
Mm-hmm. I think it is a helpful tool for me with residents coming in. I do have an empathy, understand what some of their fears might be or their apprehension. I can tell them that it is a program that really works if they're willing to follow the direction that we give them. I'm always able to just be a cheerleader for the Friendship Shelter in a way and tell them, you know, this can really work for you. And I see the people that you know are just going to fly, you know, that come in, and then you see the ones which struggle more. And but it's definitely being on both sides has definitely worked for me to be, I think, better equipped with the basics, the basic stuff that the program counselors are not going to have to deal with. The basic stuff and just being there, I think that really helps.
So you mentioned earlier that you didn't feel worthy. You were kind of feeling that you couldn't do it. And do you ever see a new resident and you see this, those same doubts in their mind?
Yeah, I see a lot of that. And it's really, it is interesting to sit down with them and tell them I understand because I have been in that position and can tell them, you know, you can do this.
Yeah.
You can do this.
We're near the end of our hour. I want to thank you both, as well as Jared, who's on his way out of town, maybe listening to us, for being with us today. And I wanted to close by asking you, because we're going to put this up on our website, very likely that someone who's looking for shelter might hear this at some point. What advice would you give someone who's homeless now listening to this program and needs help?
I would definitely advise that they call us on Wednesdays at exactly 10:30 and don't give up. You might not get on them the first Wednesday you call, but it's a numbers game, and you keep calling, you will get into our program. Like I said, it does take diligence to get in, but once you get into our program, I think that you'll find that you too can put your life together, and we're there to support you and to help you through.
Yes, Anthony?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know,
just keep at it.
Never stop trying.
Mm-hmm. You know. Great. Well, thank you both. As I said at the beginning of our hour, it's not an easy thing to share a difficult time in your life with people, and we appreciate it. I know we'll help some people by having this podcast available. And the podcast hopefully also will help people decide to support us, which helps support our work. So thank you very much. We're going to close out our hour with Coldplay at Sharon's request, Paradise.